Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Bergen County. This is John Inslin at The Record. I cover county government and politics for the paper, and I'm here to welcome you on this kind of foggy day, 14th of December already, hard to believe, to another edition of Record Talk Radio, an ongoing series of conversations with newsmakers and journalists from throughout Northern New Jersey. And we're fortunate today to have as our guest both the outgoing and the incoming directors of the Center for Hope and Safety, formerly known as Shelter Our Sisters. It's a program that helps domestic violence survivors and victims and their families that's been around for quite some time. So Elaine Meyerson and Julie Miner, welcome to Record Talk Radio.
Thank
you. Good morning. Thank you.
I should also let our listeners know that we have reporters on the ground in Rochelle Park for a developing story involving an officer-involved shooting in Rochelle Park. And as many of you who are in that area know, it's impacted traffic this morning. Ladies, I'm wondering, I know your headquarters is in Rochelle Park. Has
yes.
Has the situation impacted your center?
No, not at this time. I'm first hearing about it from you right now, John. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
No, we're on a side street. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. It's actually a shooting that occurred near the Bergen County Social Services offices in Rochelle Park.
My goodness.
On Route 17. So, listeners, if you're only just hearing about this for the first time, you can find out all the information on NorthJersey.com and, of course, tomorrow's Record, so stay tuned for that. Well, ladies, thanks for joining the program. You know, Elaine, when the center announced that you were stepping down after 29 years, they sent over an interesting chronology of what has happened with the Center for Hope and Safety, formerly known as Shelter Our Sisters. And it's a really interesting timeline. I mean, let me just go through it for a little bit. And this is just picking up the period after you became executive director. And it's interesting to me, too, that you're only the second executive director in the long history of this program. But among the things that have happened, a crisis response team training for police departments, mentoring program established, project self-sufficiency, a work readiness program, expanded Hispanic services, art therapy program, Bergen Community College and anti-violence programs on campus, and then purchased an agency community service building, as well as the name change itself. So, Elaine, here's my first question for you this morning. Of all those things that have happened on your watch, what would you say was the most significant in your opinion?
That's a pretty big question, John. I think really, and what has changed in the field is the expansion of more community-based programs. The shelter is an absolutely essential component of our program and of assisting survivors throughout the state and the country. But we've also learned that if people can empower themselves and get restraining orders and develop safety plans, they could stay with family or home and then receive other services, whether it be community counseling. We have outreach counseling. We have, you know, the project self-sufficiency, helping people decide where they want to go vocationally, because really economic independence is really the key to becoming free and self-sufficient, you know. We have a music and arts therapy program called Project Child for child victims and witnesses of domestic violence. Again, they're living home and coming in for about a year's worth of therapy. And, you know, working out and doing a lot of preventative work and community education, whether it be with Bergen Community College. We do a lot of work with Healing Space, the Rape Crisis Program. We do a lot of speaking. We work with The Zone in Englewood, and the Englewood Community Chest funded us for a education program. We do a lot of, you know, prevention work. and, you know, work with the schools, and we work with Alternatives to Domestic Violence, who do a lot of the school education and a lot of the counseling and therapy work in the community also.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's surprising, I would have thought, and this is just my guess, but I would have thought having your own building after all those years was maybe the most important thing.
That,
I mean,
it took a lot of effort,
I know, to fundraise. But it was very significant.
Well, okay. Now we have a larger community presence, and what we did with the building, which we really looked for about 7 years for a building, and we found, we believe, the most perfect building in Rochelle Park, and it's become a community center. And so, yes, that's all part of our growth of community outreach programs. And, we, you know, we have a lot of activities, support groups going on here, art classes going on, yoga, you know, a lot of counseling. So we're looking to really expand the services in this facility. So, you know, it's given us more of a, we believe, you know, a community face. And, yes, we raised $2 million from the community. That was awesome. And, you know, particularly we received a lot of funding from the Community Development Office in Bergen County. And that is this has been extremely significant component of our expansion, yes.
Good. Elaine, how did you get involved in this program, and what did you do before you came to what was then Shelter Our Sisters?
Well, I'm a social worker. I was an associate director in an agency that worked with handicapped adults and provided housing and a lot of self-sufficiency skills, and was, you know, given the honor of being hired here in August of 1986. And to really help grow.
I'm sure.
Yes. You know, to really help grow this agency. And, you know, we've seen so much changes in the field when in, you know, 1986, the law in New Jersey had just been drafted in 1982, the New Jersey Prevention Against Prevention of Domestic Violence Act, which is one of the toughest acts in the country. And the legislature continues to update and expand that law. You know, over the years, they've added stalking. We've added dating abuse, the recognition of dating abuse, the recognition of same-sex couples. You know, we no longer talk about just spouse abuse. You know, domestic violence is much broader than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so we've seen, you know, a lot of changes. The Record does not hesitate to put it in the front page. You know, and... You know, we've been having an annual vigil because, unfortunately, even in Bergen County, there's been some horrific domestic violence deaths that we've had to face. And,
right.
You know, we want to be there to support the families and to continue to educate people so they can learn how to protect themselves.
Okay. Has the day-to-day work, the advocacy work, and the outreach work changed much over the years, or is it pretty much... as it was when you started with the agency?
You can't stop, you know. There's always advocacy. There's always, and I think sometimes people sit back and they forget that women are still being oppressed, women are still being abused. And, yes, there are men who also have been are victims of domestic violence, and I think there's a greater recognition of that today. The advocacy has to be ongoing because, you know, if we sit back on our laurels, you know, we're going to sort of go backwards in the work and the accomplishments that we have made so far.
Sure. You know, crime has gone down, major violent crime in most categories has gone down over that period of last couple of years. Have you seen any corresponding decline in the sheer numbers of domestic violence over that period?
Well, New Jersey, the police uniform crime report, you know, the numbers have gone down. But when there's still 65,000 in the state of New Jersey, that's still a pretty huge number.
Sure.
In Bergen County, we're looking, last year reported, 2013, with 3,500. Usually it's somewhere between 4,000 to 5,000. So it's gone down, but that's the reported numbers. I do not believe it's gone down. I believe that not everybody reports because now they're better educated. You know, they know where their people learn where their options are. They're more comfortable calling hotlines and sometimes getting out before it gets to the point where the police have to intervene. But, you know, if you have one incident, it's too many. You know, they still say every 12 seconds, on the average, you know, a woman is battered. 1 out of 4 women are going to be battered, to include sexual assault. It's 1 out of 3, you know, in their lifetime. So it continues to be a serious problem.
Okay. I remember in the early days, it was somewhat hard sometimes to get people to report domestic violence. Has that changed at all? I mean, have people been more willing to come forward and saying, yes, I've been beaten up here?
Well, it's hard to know, because those who don't report are not going, you know, to be necessarily speaking with us, you know. Women are still threatened. There's sort of terroristic threats. They're told that their kids are going to be kidnapped if they report. They're told that they're going to kill them or their parents if they report. And what do we see in the front page in the newspaper? Lots of murder-suicides, you know,
right,
in Bergen County,
right,
and throughout. Killings, you know, every few months. So, you know, that's a reality. That is still a reality. So I'm sure,
right,
there's many people who don't report and don't leave because they're so fearful of what their, you know, what could happen to their family. And for many,
sure,
people, it's still shameful. Depending on the culture, every culture is so different. And for so many cultures, this is really a disgrace.
Right.
And it is extremely...
I guess that was the part of my question, though, is has the stigma associated with, you know, being a victim of domestic violence, has that diminished at all over the time that you've been doing this work?
Well, I think so, only because I think that people are much more aware about it, that this is not women learning that it's not their fault. However, again, particularly in certain cultures, it is a shameful thing. It is embarrassing. It is fearful. And, you know, I'm sure there's so many women who are still afraid to come forward.
Sure. You know, I was just wondering if in the course of your 29 years, have you had some situations where you were worried for your safety? I mean, doing the work that you're doing?
There actually were a few, but, you know, we would work with the police on those situations, and, you know, we had trespassing issues, and, you know, but we work through that with the police, and we tighten up security in the facility. And, you know, we don't have a security person, though. So, you know, security is something we talk about, safety and security, all the time, whether we're talking about it for one person, whether we're talking about it for the staff and the volunteers, you know,
right,
and the women. Yeah.
Right. Especially in the time that we live in, where just even in the larger world, there's concerns about security.
And but the police departments are very responsive, very supportive, and you know, they help us the best that they all can.
Okay. Tell me about this fund that was set up now that you're stepping out.
yeah.
What was it again?
Elaine's
Fund for
Elaine's
Enabling
Empowerment
Women.
Fund for Women, yes.
Women.
What's that about? Well, that is a way for us to raise money in my name, in my honor, which is very generous of the board. So we can help women in developing programs and helping maintain programs. So many times we see funding cuts of an important program, say product self-sufficiency, or the art classes, you know, or, you know, our... you know, in our outreach, and we want to do something special or a parenting group for the community. So I want to be able to use that fund to be able to support the programs and or create new programs for women, because our goal is always for them to become self-sufficient. And different funds are designated differently, and this is going to be really designated specifically for the women's programs and also to help the women who are in need of moving on their own and being able to access some affordable housing. Because, you know, that's another key. If they can't live independently and they can't find permanent housing, unfortunately, women choose to go back.
Right.
Sometimes that's one of
their
options.
I know they had a send-off at Stony Hill the other day. How did that go?
Mm-hmm. It was awesome. It was just awesome. There was about 150 people. And, yes, I truly felt loved and appreciated. But really, I don't do this work without the support of the community, whether it be my colleagues, the agencies that we're in partnership with, the staff, the board. I mean, we've always been in this all together. And, you know, we provide initially mostly just short-term services. We have always needed the community to help our women. So we continue to build relationships, and I hope that's something that I've done has really put us on the map as really a team player, as a partnering agency to help some of the most vulnerable people in Bergen County.
All right. And, Elaine, one last question for you then. What's next for Elaine Meyerson?
What's next for Elaine Meyerson? My mother's 90th birthday party in March. So.
Okay.
That's one of the big things. I have some ideas. I'm on some boards. I'm on my Hillsdale Health Board, and I'll be doing some project work. So I'm going to stay busy. But I just want to say also, you mentioned, how long. The agency's been around almost 40 years. And April 14th, we are celebrating at the Venetian our 40th anniversary. So that's another exciting, momentous time for us.
Great. Excellent. Well, Julie, let's get you in here. And I have to take note of the time. We're going a little bit over the original 15 minutes I was asking for. Do you have some time to talk?
I do, yes.
Excellent. Well, Julie, tell me a bit about yourself. I know you were the CEO of Jewish Family Services for North Hudson, for Bergen and North Hudson. Tell me a bit about your background.
Yes, I was actually the Chief Operating Officer or Director of Operations at Jewish Family Service for approximately 8 years. And in that position, I oversaw an array of different programs. Some of them were mental health counseling programs with different populations, women, children, as well as older adults. I also oversaw some programs for older adults with the goal of keeping them in their homes safely and with dignity, with an array of services to support them in doing so, as well as school-based after-school programs in numerous school districts in Hudson and in North Hudson and Bergen County, and general case management to help people access resources to help them move on with their lives, and including a food pantry. Prior to that, I was working in Newark and developed numerous programs to help foster children as well as foster families care for these children. And originally, I was trained as a child psychologist and did a lot of clinical work early on in my career with a strong focus on trauma and children as well as family systems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What prompted you to apply for this job?
I have incredible passion to enhance the lives of individuals who are struggling, and especially women and children. I am keenly aware of the impact on trauma and its debilitating impact on the lives of the people that have faced such traumatic experiences. And this gave me the opportunity to join my education, my skills, as well as my administrative experience in one area where I could have significant impact. So it's a tremendous opportunity. I'm very excited, and I'm looking forward to a fabulous and worthwhile, purposeful work here at the Center for Hope and Safety.
Good. What do you see as the greatest challenges ahead for the organization?
Well, there is still a lot of work to do. As Elaine mentioned, the issue of domestic violence is still very present, and we need to expand services to best address this issue. Given that we have our new community center, the challenge I see ahead is to expand the services to reach the entire community. So these services are geared mainly for victims who are not seeking shelter, but who are in need of other services to move forward toward a life free of violence. So the first thing I have in mind to do is to implement legal services. Elaine has already secured some funding, and these services will be implemented hopefully at the beginning of 2016. So we will help women with serious personal matters, such as protective orders, custody, and child support. And this type of assistance presents the women with real long-term alternatives to their abusive relationships. I would also like to focus on developing additional program here at the community center and providing services such as career counseling and job search coaching, job training, and English as a second language classes so that the victims can secure employment and reach economic independence so that they can support themselves and their children. Financial literacy workshops are key to helping them become economically strong, as well as one-on-one consultations to understand financial issues. And that would be another component, another layer I would like to bring to the community center. So expanding services at the new site is a challenge ahead. Another challenge that I foresee and I'm eager to tackle is to reach out to underserved and marginalized populations in Bergen County. Mm-hmm. Elaine has already mentioned the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered community. We have to find ways to expand our services to them, increase the accessibility of our services to them. Older adult, Bergen County has a very large population of older adults, and it keeps increasing. It's a very vulnerable community. And the Hispanic community, the Korean community, is expanding also very quickly in Bergen County, and they are completely underserved. I would like to focus the outreach efforts to these populations and also make sure that we provide culturally competent services. So at this point, these are my two big projects to move forward. The connection of the center to the community is something else that is very present or in the forefront of my mind. I'm very excited about continuing and strengthening the center's relationship with all in our community, from individuals, families, and schools to businesses and corporations. Helping victims of domestic violence is a community commitment and effort. And I strongly believe that together with the community, the center will have the most impact. Mm-hmm. By joining the center at this time of year, I've had the experience of seeing how generous the community is, and it's quite heartwarming. During the holiday season, we have over 500 people volunteering to wrap gifts at Barnes & Noble and Hackensack and Paramus and the Paramus Park Mall and Chef Central for donations to the center. And it's quite nice to see the level of support through the hours of work that people are committing for the organization. And we also have countless of people giving gifts at this time of year. So I can feel the community support, and I want to continue to harness that to move forward.
Okay, good. A question for both of you. I had the sad occasion to cover what was a failed attempt to save the life of a woman who was allegedly being stalked by a former New York City police officer up in Midland Park. I vividly remember the day when, you know, dozens of police officers fanned out throughout the neighborhood around there looking for him, and they were unable to find him that day. He did turn himself in later. I'm wondering if either of you have any thoughts about what might have been done differently to save that woman's life.
You know, John, I have been asking people to find out, what went wrong. I know there's been investigations. I have not been privy to them. I know that we have asked the county to call what's called the working group meeting, which is representatives of, the judiciary, law enforcement, social service agencies, and that meeting is now going to be the end of January. So, he was... The bail was set. It's hard to know. It seems like something tighter could have happened, whether it be a higher bail. How do you know he wasn't going to make that bail? It's a very sad case that I don't think we can accuse unless we can find out really more. And I've talked to Assemblyman, Valerie Huddle, to, everybody has a knee-jerk reaction, This was horrendous. But, what can we improve to help law enforcement do a better job, to help the judiciary, do a better job? So I don't really have an answer on that.
All right. But there will be a meeting of this working group, and I guess Julie,
you'll
be working.
Of the working group, I believe it's January 20th.
Mm-hmm. And then Julie, you'll be working on that, I gather.
I will be. I see the importance of strengthening our collaboration among systems to be able to serve and protect people better who are in danger. So I'm eager to do that as well.
All right. We've got time for one final question. Elaine, what would be your advice for Julie going forward?
Boy, really to treasure the staff and their skill and their professionalism. They are so compassionate and so skilled and bring really a lot to the table in helping women. Also, embrace the community and the work that they're doing and, keep moving forward. Advocate, have relationships with the legislators so they use us, continue to use us as a resource, and continue to improve the laws.
Okay, good. Well, ladies, thank you both for being part of the program today. I appreciate your time. And Julie, I'm sure we'll be talking a lot as events move forward.
Yes,
Elaine,
we
good
will.
Luck. In,
and
good
John,
luck
thank
your
you
retirement.
So much for thank you for inviting us. Have a good day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And folks, listeners, I just wanted to give you a program note as well. Tomorrow, we haven't set the exact time yet, but tomorrow I'll be talking to my record colleague, Jill Schensel. She is the travel writer for the record, and she's just back. She just got back this weekend from her annual vacation in Paris, where she had a really fascinating set of experiences reporting on how that city has absorbed and reacted to the terrorist attacks that happened earlier this year. So tune in tomorrow. Stay tuned to the Bergen Beat blog for details on that broadcast, and we'll have that conversation as well. And as I said at the top of the program, stay tuned to NorthJersey.com for all the latest on this shooting in Rochelle Park, as well as all your Bergen County news. Till then.